Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Gentlemen, welcome to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. With me broadcasting from his home studio is my boy, Jesse Lives. Jesse, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. And so before we get into anything today on the show, I'm taking this little bit of the show part for me and what I've got to say.
For sure.
I have a very, very good friend of mine, who I call my work wife, is in the hospital. She's been in the hospital for about a week and a half now. She has COVID on top of other complications. So, like almost 2 years ago now, she had a kidney transplant that her sister donated to her.
Okay.
And so now she's got, and this has really, really put her in a bad place. She, you know, like I said, she's in the hospital, and she's having to breathe through oxygen right now. She can't keep anything down. All of her levels of, you know, everything inside of her, you know, are not right. You know, and doctors are doing everything they can to make sure that, you know, she comes out of this situation. I would just like to say, to Charlene that I love you and we miss you at work and we can't wait till you come home. So I just needed to throw that before we started anything. Didn't mean to start things off in a damper mood or anything like that, but
I just needed to
say that and say my piece about it. So there it is. Charlene, I love you, and I can't wait to see you because she's got COVID and stuff like that, so we can't go visit her in the hospital or anything like that. So
COVID does not discriminate, man.
But her sister does have her phone, so we're all keeping communication with her, you know, via text and stuff like that. Just throwing that out there. She is somebody that I love dearly and I consider family. So, yeah, that's it. Again, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the little damper mood there right at the beginning of the show. I just want people, if you do this kind of thing, throw out some prayers and, some well wishes to Charlene, fighting for what she's fighting through right now. So, but we do have an incredible show for you today. Our artist of the week, Rezboy. I can't wait to get into this. He was born in Cali, raised in a Indian reservation in Montana, and music was his you know, his kind of out to escape from things that were going on, you know, in his home life and everything like that. You know, not the best growing up, but I feel like we see a lot of that in the people that we talk to, you know, like they, you know, rougher childhoods and stuff like that. So there's something about that, that if you turn it around into a positive thing, you know, you can really do something with it. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of that.
Pressure creates progression.
Exactly. That trial and tribulation, you know, that some people face and everything like that, you know, may not have done the things that they're doing now had they not went through that. You know, maybe if they were raised in a, you know, proper, you know, white picket fence home, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have had that because they wouldn't have escaped from something, so they wouldn't have been looking for something, you know? So there's a there's a correlation between, you know, struggle and, you know, passion.
Creativity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You said it better than I would have. Yeah, absolutely. So.
But it's the same. The passion is still the same. But, yeah, it's the thing about this is it hard times create a certain level of survival skill. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll say for me, that's what it created for me. It created a certain level of survival skill where you could drop me off on the moon, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what you just got to do. So, but if you think about most of the greatest artists in any form, they come from something that drives them forward, and you see the difference in the greatness. Not saying that people aren't creative, but I'm talking about the legends. Pick any legend. There's something that's driving that greatness, and I think it's just a part of having to figure out your way through a maze, or having to outgrow a box that nobody thinks you can outgrow, and things like that. It either breaks you or makes you. I mean, because it's not like everybody goes in that direction, because it breaks a lot of people.
Right.
Those people that transcend that, boy, they become Jay-Z. They become Michael Jackson. They become, you know, Prince. They become Tim Tate. They become Bruce Springsteen. You see what I'm saying? Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
They become the Beatles. They become those people. I mean, because I feel like it's like at a certain point you realize, I don't have nothing to lose and can't nothing stop me. I done seen everything. I like to say it all the time.
Yeah.
I done pretty much seen everything but God. What really can you – and I mean that. Like, I done really seen it all. Not that I wanted to see it all, but I've seen some of the strings, and I realized, hey, a lot of that was in my mind, and that was the conditioning and things that I'm being taught to keep me from being scared to try. So, and that's why I always say that's why I love creative. Because there's always going to be a true driving force, and that's always a dope-ass story.
Right, exactly, yeah. And we hear a lot of good ones. We really do, you know. So I'm hoping Rez Boy here, you know, I hope he falls, you know, right in line with, you know, a lot of the other, you know, awesome people that we've had on the show here. And, you know, and there's another good story behind what molded him, you know, doing what he's doing, you know, and doing hip hop and everything.
Definitely,
so, because it's like, you know, it's always an awesome story, you know, and just learning about people and where they came from, you know, because I can't imagine growing up on an Indian reservation. So, like, you know, this is all going to be, you know, absolutely new to me, you know, So,
and that's the dope thing about the Native story, it rarely gets heard. So there's always going to, at this point, it's always going to be a good story, because that's a group of people that somehow get lost in the shuffle at times with their narrative. And it's not that like they're disregarded. It's just people don't know to focus in that direction. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, that was one of the main reasons why I wanted them on the show, because there is something going on over there, but just nobody knows to shine a light that way or even take two seconds to even listen. Like, and so, just like any other culture, you know, the Native American culture, shoot, they got a rich-ass culture. But how often do we talk about
Exactly, you know. So, and I mean, let's be honest, if you're not, you know, if you're not an American Indian, you're immigrant. So, exactly. You know, and I think obviously, you know, when the white man came over here, you know, I mean, we just fucked their shit up, you know. And I always loved how Eddie Griffin put it. And he's like, hey, y'all talking about y'all discovered it. How are you going to discover some shit when people already lived at? Like,
exactly.
He's like, if that's the case, then I'm going to discover somebody's car outside.
Right. How you gonna invent America when the Americas was already here? They were a tribe here. You didn't invent that. You colonized that. I mean, your word ain't even your idea. So,
yeah.
But let me shut up. You know what I'm saying? Let me not tell you something you don't want to know. Like,
what a bunch of crock of shit that they fucking teach in school. You know. And you don't think about that
when you're learning
this shit. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, here's Christopher Columbus, and he discovered America. Da 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 da. Hold the fuck up. You know, when you get older and you realize shit, I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right. But from now I'm gonna play a devil's advocate on this. But from that side of it, whoever that group of people are, it's genius. Because how do you maintain control through ignorance?
Right.
If I want to
control
a bunch of people, I just convince them of something that ain't true, and then they'll continue to.
Right.
And this is your reality. So when people say, "Well, the schools don't teach nothing," and that's not by accident. Oh, that like no, we want y'all in this box. Stay in that box. Don't come out of that box. We know when we need y'all. We know what box to go look in. And so yes, it sucks. But if we were in that group of people, it would make perfect sense to us why it's that way. And maybe even just understanding that. Is unlearning whatever that is.
Well, to me,
it
just goes to show that, you know, our government's been shady from the get go.
But they playing a global game, and I think if you ain't cheating, but I think in the game they playing, if you ain't cheating, if you ain't shady, you ain't trying.
But
we're talking about countries, they playing the world game. We looking at it how it affects us in this country. They it's a whole other, because even stuff they do here affects stuff in other places. So I just can't imagine the stress of that shit. Perfect example, anytime we get a president, they literally age 20 years if they last 8. So can you imagine the real – because you're really seeing what – you really know what's going on. You know, you really know what the conversation is, not the media version, nah. So all I that's what I do. I look at people in power, and I look at the way they're aging, and it's like, wow, it must be some real messed up shit going on in the world because, bro, you're 37. You look 64. So that's always the angle I try to look at it. Because, I mean, look at all CEOs. Like, you could tell when a person that runs something, you can tell when they're under pressure because you could see it in the way, just you could see it in their health, in their mind state. So I don't know, man. I just think that's the world game and that's how it's played because, really, we're talking about whose dick is bigger when it comes down to it. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that's what it seems like. It's just
whose dick is
who's bigger, who's
just
more gangster, whose army is gangster. Who's, you know, whose people are smarter, whose people are stronger. Ain't it though? Like when you break it all down and put all what you think you know about politics aside, a lot of it is just egos. My country's better than yours. You guys are lesser than me because of this reason or whatever. So it's all about egos and this room full of narcissists trying to establish dominance. They don't call them superpowers for nothing. World powers. Like, think about it. The world powers have to come and have a discussion about what's going on in the world. These are all men that control a part of the world. You can't tell me that's not a narcissist. You can't even – that doesn't go with, like, compassion. Like, think about it, because these are men who I make a decision. I sign a form and 100,000 people go to die. That's what I do. And I do that every day. Like, oh, shit. Need some more? Here you go. Like, I don't even know these people. I just send them off to fight with a war that I started with my mouth.
Right.
Like, yep. So I can't imagine the – that's got to be a whole different level of warfare that we don't – that's, like, above our pay grade to even understand, you know, how those people think and why they think that way. Because if you're fighting to maintain your patch of the globe, what do you do? What do you – I mean, because you got to go to the worst links. You're basically protecting your part of the globe. And then everybody else is on that too. They on the same, I got to protect my space too. So we on the same thing too. And we don't respect you because we think we're better than you.
Right.
Ew, that's never going to get right. We're never going to come to, we're never going to meet in the middle on anything. Ever.
That's because America has some bullies. We walk through like some
damn
high school principals.
I think everybody bullies everybody though. True. I think everybody bullies everybody. We're just not at that part of the country where we get bullied by this country. You know. But then if everybody was honest, we'd know who the bullies were, and I don't think people would be able to bully people because it would be like, wow, that's what y'all doing over there? No wonder they got a problem with us.
Go ahead. Glad I'm not involved in all that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's just some
me either.
Some stressful.
Jesus. I don't.
Like, why you even want to do all that? Like, calm down. Like, shit. Everybody fucking.
Well, if that's all you know.
A shot, you
know what I'm
saying? And chill out.
Some people are how's the word? They're obsessed with power. They're obsessed with control. And we're talking like, you know, bloodlines that are obsessed with it. So that's all they may know. Just like anything, any kind of. But
I was just you get on, you know, like United Nations and stuff. Like, you know, I'd be rolling up in there like, look, everybody, pour you a drink, all right? You know, me, I'm gonna drink some Fireball. You know, Russia's gonna drink some vodka. You know. We need to be drinking some sake and shit, you know what I'm saying? Everybody just pour them a drink, shoot one back, but take a breather, all right? Calm down with all this conflict and aggravation and shit. Everybody just cool out. Let's talk about this shit, you know? But.
And you know what they do to guys that try to do that? they turn them into tyrants. And they install a new government. That's what they do.
Yeah, it is what it is. But, ladies and gentlemen, we do have an incredible show for you tonight. Moving on with things, and I believe that we have our artist of the week on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him on. See what's going on here. Brez boy.
Yes, sir.
What up, man?
You know, just got the kids out from school, you know, getting the homework done, you know, the family thing.
Hell yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I appreciate
y'all
for having me.
Anytime, man, anytime. I told you, you need to be heard. So,
oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gentleman on the phone, he goes by Rez Boy. You know, he represents Pablo, Montana. He grew up on a reservation, which to me, it's just the equivalent of the projects. So me and him got a lot in common because the project is a project, no matter what you call it.
Yes,
and
sir.
They're very, very dope artists. I actually met him through a friend of mine. I ain't going to yell his government name, so I'll say, we'll say our mutual friend Dice introduced me to this man. And this was just a great opportunity for people to be aware that, you know, you have someone that's actually legitimately representing the reservation and speaking for the reservation and speaking for his culture. And people need to really realize that there is representation out there if they don't believe they're not being represented. You know, his name is Rez Boy. So.
Yes, sir.
Would you agree or disagree?
Nah, that's 100. I agree. For sure, my G. That's like Jay was just saying, you know, the project, we got projects over here too, but it's just a little bit smaller. You feel me? It ain't no tiers or no stories or anything like that. I mean, a two story, that's about it. So that's really where I grew up. You know, I grew up over here in Pablo, like Jay just said, in the projects. You know, it's tribal housing, so it's really, you know, if you're a member from the tribe, you're eligible to live in tribal housing, but there's like a niche to it, like Section 8, you feel me? So it's like you get into the tribal housing, if you don't work, then you don't pay no rent. They take all that, that you get food stamps, this, that, the third. It's pretty much the same like the regular world, but it's just like, to me, it's like a third world country over here on the res, because not many people are really educated about a reservation or even Native Americans at that. Because they still think, I mean, there's some people that think that we live in teepees still, you know, but, you know, we modernized and it's similar. You know, there's a lot of similarities to the hood in the reservation, because, you know, I was born in California, and where I came from, you know, it was just violent, you know, gang members, different cities, you know, you hit different blocks and that's a different gang, you know, and that just goes for every major city, you know. So you crossing the road, you know, you go to the corner store, oh, that so-and-so be over there doing their thing, and then, oh, across the street is the woo-woo-woo and this, that, and the third. So don't get it twisted, though, you know what I mean? Over here, it ain't like that. It ain't gang-orientated or anything like that. Yeah, you get a couple wannabes every once in a while. You might get some people from out of state come in or whatever, set up shop and trap out one of these tribal houses or whatever, but, you know, we don't really run into those, like, hey, man, you can't be wearing a specific hat, like, you can't wear a dub hat coming over here through Felsman, or you can't be wearing a Washington Nationals hat coming through over here on Sparrow Lane or whatever, you know, it ain't like that. It's more or less of like, oh, who's your family? You feel me? So that's really where the beef really comes in, is like, who's your family and where you from on the res? Because on the res, it's like, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's like 20 different cities just on my res. But the cities, when I say city, it ain't big, you feel me? It's not like no Pomona or no San Gabriel Valley or no West Covina. It ain't like that. It's more small and really spread out. But yeah, man, that you, Jesse really hit it on the button right there when he said that you know, there's similar lifestyles and a lot of pros and cons and a lot of similarities and stuff. So
always,
you know, that's
always
just a little insight of how the res is, you know.
And that's good, because that's definitely what people need to hear, because like I said a little earlier, people just don't understand your culture because they don't hear about it enough.
Right.
And that's sad to me, because,
oh,
hell,
yeah.
That's – and we've talked in the past, and I told you, like, no, I want to know about that, because, shit, there's something I might could, like, learn from that could influence me.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the
most,
more,
definitely.
You see what I'm saying? Because it's a weird thing, because struggle affects everybody. Poverty affects everybody. And I think we forget that a lot. That, again,
yeah,
me and Jeremy were talking last night, and I was saying, like, it's funny, like, even though you grew up in Tennessee, a lot of the stuff that went
yeah.
on in your neighborhood was going on in mine. So
yep,
we
yep.
have more in common than you think. It's just we're in a place where we're talking to each other about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm
saying?
So,
and that's it's really different. Like we have boarding schools over here on the reservation and way back, and I'm talking like 1800s, like maybe early 1940s, we had boarding schools, and what it was, It was these Catholics, you know, these white people that came to the reservation to take kids away from their parents. Now this is a trip, because you would think, hell no, I ain't going to let my kids go with anybody. Like, I ain't going to let nobody that I don't know come into my house you know, and take my kid from me to go attend a Christianity school, right? Well, back then,
right,
it was like, it's either you give me your kid, or we're gonna take everything from you, and then you're gonna come too, you know. And it either ended in violence, somebody dying, and back then it really, you know, you're Indian, so they don't care, you know. And that's just the way the white man is what we call them, you know. And it's no disrespect, because I got a lot of white homies that are cool, you know, that are good, and they want to be educated on it as well. So no,
stupid
no
ass
disrespect,
white people.
But yeah. So anyway,
I'll give a shit.
Don't get it twisted. Jay, he's gonna be the first one to yell that out.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, he'll call that out in a minute.
Stupid ass white
it's
people
all
doing
good.
Stupid ass white people shit.
Yep. That's exactly right. So check it out. So over here on the reservation, it's a Catholic church right here. It's called St. Ignatius, Montana. And what it is, it's a multi-million-dollar church. But before it was a multi-million-dollar Catholic church, it was a Catholicism for these Native kids that were being taken away from their parents on the reservation. And what ended up happening?
So it was one of them indoctrination schools, basically.
But yeah, basically. Yep, so yep, they're yep. trying to take the kids and get them while they're young and get that Native American mindset out.
We have long. Yeah. They want to do away with our culture, because we're spiritual. You feel me? Like we don't believe in God or Jesus or anything like that. We never did. It wasn't until these boarding schools and the Catholicism was forced on us, right? So if we spoke our language in these schools, they punished us. My grandma, she's 80 years old. She's a survivor from this Ursulines Academy over here at Mission. And what she told me was that when she spoke her language, she was locked in a closet with no food, with a little tin cup that was half full of water. For 3 days, she was in there because she spoke her language. And that wasn't even the worst of the worst. She said that she saw her cousin get burned. There's a lot of like raping and a bunch of stuff like that. So that was back in the like 1940s or whatever. Now present day, just to elaborate a little bit with y'all, this was happening all over Indian country. There's Indians in Canada. There's Indians down in Alaska and Antarctica, the Inuit and stuff like that. So this was happening all over in Indian country. So
happening
now
out here in
they
California.
Just,
a lot of people don't know that
California.
Either.
California.
They went
even
down here
still
too.
Have one. Yeah, all over the place, you know. And these reservations where we had to go.
Before they called it Mexico.
Yeah, G. Yeah. Yeah, all that. G. Like, it was all over the world, you know. And a lot of people really don't understand that, like, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm Mexican, but at the same time, you know, I'm Aztec. So it's like, nah, I'm really not Mexican. I'm Aztec. And people that really know the history between, you know, the Mexican and the Spanish and the Spanish War and stuff like that. I ain't going to get into all that. But anyway, so with these.
But break that down just a little bit. Break that down just a little bit so people understand where the Mexican people came from. What created that? People.
Okay. Let me get into that real quick.
No, just, I'm saying, yeah, I don't just a little bit, because I really believe people don't know this. They don't even understand what happened to your people.
Hold on, let me get to this kid. Hey, chill. So back like in the, you know, the Spaniards and the way back. The Europeans came. And they raided I don't want to say Mexican, because at the same time it's really Native. So, you know, they raided these Native villages, and they started the Civil War. This was like in like 1930s or whatever, you know. It was the same thing over there in Mexico. It was the same thing. It was all similar, you know. These Europeans came. And, you know, they started raping the women and started having, you know, half and half mixed blood and stuff. Like, okay, now you're Spaniard now, you know, you're European now. So that's how the blood came about from the Mexican the Spanish Civil War, you know. So it was similar, but at the same time it wasn't, because we as Native Americans didn't take we didn't go to war with like the U.S. But I got a story about my tribe actually declaring war on the U.S. And let me see. Emilio Zapata is one of the Mexican revolutions that actually was fighting for a revolutionary, you know, for us, for the Mexicans, you know. He was fighting for what was good. He was fighting for what was right. And they ended up killing him and whatever. But it goes back that far, you know. It's all similar. It all comes back around like the same. Because I really never understood it until I actually took the time to research, like, hey, like, yo, yeah, I'm Mexican, and they're like, what is that though? What is a Mexican? Like, what is Mexican? Like, what is it? And they're like, it's indigenous, it's native, you know, it's indigenous, it's indigenous. And I'm like, well, how? And then, you know, I ended up pulling up the 1930 Civil War between, you know, the Europeans, the Spaniards, and invading Mexico, or what was then Mexico. And then, that's pretty much like my education on that aspect of things on the Mexican side. I'm still learning a lot on that side, but back into like, I'm Kootenai as well from over here on the Confederate Salish and Kootenai tribe. So we come from like Canada, Idaho, where else? Canada, Idaho, and Western Montana. So that's where really we originated from. And back in, let me see, I need to fact check this.
Well, a lot of it is I mean, really, when you break it down, I mean, that, you know, Europeaners, you know, have been doing that for, you know, or did that for fucking ever. I mean, because back in the medieval times, you had prima nocta. And that's where, yep, you know, they, you know, the feudal lords would go, and they would have, you know, they would take brides on their wedding nights, and, you know, and have sex with them and everything like that, because they were hoping, basically, like Europeans, like, breed out, you know, Scottish people and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
You know, and it was like, you know, if we can't make them get out, we'll breed them out. You know, so
right.
And then that's, you know, that's
exactly
a lot of what they're doing. That's what they did here, you know, or not, you know, not here, but, you know, what they did down there, you know, and like in South,
yep,
America, everything like that. And then, and, you know, there probably was some of that going on here, you know, here in America,
yeah,
you know, when all that, you know, came down. So it's crazy to think of how life here, you know, and modernization of life, you know, recorded time, you know, how it started here and everything like that. It's just a lot of raping and pillaging and, you know, it's
oh,
fucking,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's really crazy,
yeah,
you know, when you really break it down and think about it. But I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
I'm sorry.
You
crazy.
It.
Crazy nurse. Crazy nurse.
What it is. Yeah, yeah, that's fact. See, like, so another fact. So the Kootenai tribe declared war against the U.S. in 1974. Okay, so in 1974, this was based out of Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. The declaration of the war between the Kootenai Nation and the U.S. And what ended up happening was, us Kootenais weren't getting any type of, you feel me? Like, we weren't getting any, no new houses built, no roads getting fixed or anything like that. So what we ended up doing as Kootenai people is we're like, all right, we're going to go to war with y'all. And we declared war. And this is a fact. The Kootenai people are the only people to ever win a war against the United States of America. And it's It's a fact because we were charging people 10 cents to come in and to come and use our, you know, it's a small reservation, Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. It's a small, you blink and you're going past it. So we were standing on the road with signs saying 10 cents. You're not getting through until you pay, you know, the 10 cents. There were houses that were just demolished, you know, people were boarding up their houses and living in unsafe environments. You know, elders were dying from asbestos exposure and just a lot going on over there in Kootenai country, and we weren't getting an eye, you know. I'd like to compare it to the Flint, Michigan, right? You know how the water is over there, how it's all fucked up,
yeah,
in the hood or whatever, and like how they don't, yeah, like they're not even giving a fuck about what's going on over there, or even trying to fix the problem or the issue. You know, they might be now, but I just haven't really looked up on it. But that's what the type of treatment that we were getting. We were just being like, we were the redheaded stepchild, and we had treaties signed. You know that, hey, the government's gonna help with this, with that, this, that, the third, and it wasn't happening. So we declared war, and the president at the time was like, look, you guys win, I'm signing this, and we're gonna get everything situated, which they did, and now, you know, nowadays. I'm sure y'all, I don't know if anybody or if y'all are familiar with per capita, but a lot of people like to get this confused. So let me just state the record. Not every tribe gets per capita, and not every tribe is rich or gets
exactly
free money.
Exactly.
People think it's free money, free money, free money, but it's like, nah. Look at the history, right? And then come and tell me if it's free money, because at the time we didn't get shit. We was really living cardboard box type shit, and now it's like we getting our you guys are paying your dues. The United States of America is paying their dues to us Native Americans.
Right.
So a Bonner's Ferry estimate like $5,000 to $6,000 a month. You know, so that's every tribal member that's enrolled in that Bonner's Ferry, Kootenai of the Bonner's Ferry. Every tribal member that's enrolled in that tribe gets $5,000. They get housing. They get bonuses. They get, you know, they get all this shit because, you know, it's payback. So it all makes sense. And right here where I'm at the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, you know, we get like $400 dividends every like 4 months. You know, it ain't nothing, but it's something. You know, it's something. But
it's a little bit more than you had.
Right. Yeah, that's $400 more than I had last week. You know, and it's all good. But a lot of people like to get it confused and be like, man, you Indians get this and you Indians get that. And it's like, no, that's not the case.
Right.
But
now,
yeah,
that's
the history.
Talking about,
that's a little,
music.
That's just a little history lesson about, you know, about what goes on around these parts and stuff besides, you know, the modern day shit that we face. You know, today my son came home with a Christopher Columbus unit, right? And I was just talking to one of his teachers this afternoon about, you know, like what we doing here with Christopher Columbus. You know, we all know Christopher Columbus and them pilgrims came over and did us dirty, you know what I mean? So I'm over here curious, you know. Mind you, we have a tribal education department that works with every public school throughout the valley on our reservation. So, you know, we're telling both sides of the story. You know, we have enrolled members and then we have a lot of non-members. So we got to, you know, we got to kind of even it out. But at the same time, it's like we got to be able to tell the truth of, you know, Mr. Christopher Columbus and these pilgrims, because he did not find, you know, he didn't come and find the land and had a Thanksgiving and happily ever after. So, you know, we had a
definitely
don't
get down
about
later,
that.
Michelle.
Yep.
So I know we're supposed to be talking about music, but I'm glad you were willing to share that with us, because that's my example of why a voice like yours needs to be heard.
Yeah.
Because, well, nobody pays. You know how everything is. Ironically, the sucky thing about life sometimes is everything has to be a trend for it to catch on. You see what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
I think that's how people fall into the cracks. It's like if you never become like the it, it's kind of like one time music was West Coast. Then it started, it was New York. Hip hop was New York. And sometimes here come the West Coast. Now the West Coast is the conversation. Then all of a sudden, fucked around, now the South is the conversation. Then the South went to Atlanta is the conversation. I think that's what helps people learn about cultures, because that's how I even listen to music. Like, when I'm listening to you, that's what I'm listening for. Somebody from,
right.
I know you're from this place. I know you came up this way. So at that point, you're the representative for those people in that moment for me. And that's how I've always listened to all music. Like, that's why I can always say, well, I'll never listen to another Jeezy album. Why? Because he told me everything I needed to know in the first album.
Like, yeah. Well.
You see what I'm saying? But I will always appreciate that album for what it was, because it was just like, damn, that's how y'all move in Atlanta? Jesus Christ. I'm
right?
thinking,
you, open,
you know,
you
motherfuckers
your,
still
your
running from
eye.
Yeah. 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 And I guess that's my part of my mission with this show is, okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk to these people who are living that. And then we'll get to see why they made the music they made. Instead of just the regular. We get it. You got O's. You move bricks. You got choppers. We all do. Okay. You know.
No,
as
exactly
they say,
though,
it don't matter how many
exactly
guns you got, it's who
right.
you
so. That is facts, my G. Because I really took a step back just to look from the outside in, you know, so I could take it all in and be like, damn, dog, like, yeah, you doing this shit, you know, because everything that I've ever got on a track, yeah, I was never the type to just boast about some shit or talk about some shit just because it's trending or whatever, you know. I was, you know, we all did some shit, you know, we was all a part of something, you know, we came from nothing, so we had to make something happen. But the thing with that was like, damn, how many people are already touching on this subject? You feel me? Like, how many people are already rapping about this shit that we doing in the streets? And, you know, we got guns and we got a trunk full of this and we got the bitch in the front and we got, you know, we pimping this and we doing this and trap house to trap house type shit. There's already motherfuckers rapping about that. So I'm going to leave that to them and I'm going to speak about my surroundings. I'm going to speak about my culture. I'm going to speak about my heritage. I'm going to speak about that, like missing murdered indigenous women. I'm going to speak about, I'm going to bring that topic up. I'm going to bring the topic up about, you know, Christopher Columbus. I'm going to bring a topic up about the suicide rate on the reservation and I'm going to talk about how these 11, 10-year-old 12-year-old kids are slamming dope and stuff like that, you know, just to educate motherfuckers because they really don't understand, like, damn, y'all really like that? Like, I got a 12-year-old cousin, G, no shit. First thing he does when he wakes up, he cracks open a beer and he drinks. He's an alcoholic at 12 years old, dog, only because his dad and his mom were never there. There is a house to them, and the three kids that live in that house was my cousin, his two sisters. His two sisters are older, so they were in and out, you know, doing whatever they was doing. He had no supervision. He's seen everybody around.
Right, he was raising himself.
Shit. Yeah, geez. So he's and this is a 12-year-old full-blown alcoholic. You see his belly, you could see there's some shit going on. And it's like, you can't, you know, a lot of people, like, I speak about this story a lot, and a lot of people are like, well, why don't you try to help him? It's like, what you mean? You know, what you mean try to help him? I'm going to go over there and tell him, hey, man, you better stop drinking because you're going to DT. And, you know, DT, he could die from the DTs, you know? Like, I'm going to just let him do him and just, you know, try to be motivational to him and speak. Because, you know, you don't want to hear, hey, man, you better straighten up, this, that, the third. It's like, man, I already heard that. I've been doing this
right.
already.
I'm doing what I'm
years.
Doing, man.
Yeah, yeah. For so
doing
long.
Doing what I'm doing. Why are you judging?
Exactly. Exactly. So, like, that's really my – now that's really my point. You know, I still make music about, like, I'll make some love songs every once in a while and stuff like that, but I really like to just throw in some real shit, especially Indian education, Native education, Native this, Native that. You know, like, you know, we got Superman, which is cool. You know, he's up there, dog. He's got the MTV. You know, he really the first one to make it. I was in high school when he came to the high school and he did a little presentation and stuff. And you know, he's a lot further than where he was then. And that's really inspiration to me. Superman is a big inspiration to me, and that's really who you know, paved the lane for us. So it's like, all right, I'm gonna follow in them footsteps and try to be the best I could be, and be a journalist for my reservation. You know, just like Cube was a journalist for the streets of Compton. So it's like,
that's
where I'm at, and that's where I'm at. I'm about to hit the studio for 8 hours. So.
Oh yeah,
the wild thing about Superman is, Superman is people still don't know who that is. See, I don't even know if my co-host has ever even heard that name.
I don't think I have.
So even in that, like, that needs to be spoke about more. For the fact is, like, bro, you guys do have somebody that's, I mean, he's been grinding for years. He's been at it. For at least close to a decade. And
oh yeah, gee, he's been at it for a minute.
You see, and even with the progression
thing
he's had.
Yeah,
but you're right.
That, and that, you know, like the way I think of it is like you got the Drakes, you got the Lil Wayne's, you got the Diddy's, you know, you got the Curtis Jacksons, you got the Kanye's, you know, you got these outstanding, you know, great black artists, but I got another word for it. It's like
heroes. You could say, you could call them heroes.
Yeah,
you know,
gee,
people
like,
say
you know,
they're not
so
a lot
many,
of them are, but you could
so
say
many.
They right
yeah gee,
they
like,
hero
there's
somebody.
So many they're picking up you know, black power, gee, they're picking up their people. Hey, come up. I got you. And I fuck with that. I like that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's all for one and all for all type shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, we could relate in culture-wise, you know, the African-Americans and Native Americans, bro, we have a way similar background story, you know, and that goes all the way back to when Columbus was slaving us and we were doing the gold mining and he was taking the gold and, you know, like all that shit. So it's like we have a lot of similarities,
right.
and what I really admire about the black community is everybody's for each other. You feel me? It's like, ain't nobody better than one. You know, you might get a couple of arrogant motherfuckers or whatever, but at the same time, these motherfuckers is really lifting people up and putting them on their platform to be like, hey, look, this is, you know, this is what we do. This is what we're doing, you know, and that's what we need,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a Native Americans, we need that. I'm not saying for a handout or anything like that, but like we need that top tier motherfucker to be like, all right, look, I'm gonna lift you up, and it's your job to lift them up, and so on and so on, and that creates generational wealth. You know what I mean? So it's like that's what I'm really understanding.
Right. One of the best things you can do is lead by example. I mean, people don't really understand how powerful that is. Because for me, like, I have this theory, and I use it a lot when I'm consulting. We'll say that. But it's the difference between envy and admire. If you can learn how to admire instead of envy, you see what I'm saying? Because it's the same thing. You just don't realize. It's just it's a mentality. It's a thought process. It's a difference between why the fuck they put him on to, fuck, bro. How did he make that move? Because even if you think you doper than him, the fact that it was done and it was somebody you know, that you, even if you don't talk to him, I see this motherfucker at every show and look what he did.
Yeah.
So that's really the difference. So when you tap into the admire, you start to understand that if you look at people, even if you think they don't fuck with you, bro, they just fucking follow the fucking the breadcrumbs,
exactly.
Like straight up, like
no time,
not
to
hard.
Hate, when, the moment you hate, that's your opportunity out the door. The moment you slip up and that you let that alcohol tongue come out and you say some slick shit, That's it. And animosity is a big thing, especially in this small area, G, because everybody ever since, you know, there's like four of us artists that are from this reservation that are actually on to something and actually been doing something quality. And there's 1,000 other rappers around, you know what I mean? Just like with any city. And, you know, you got that one person or that one group that wants to go in and try to be like, oh, yeah, fuck them, this, that, and the third, and try to beef around when it's like, nah, man, like, we really businessmen. Like, I did my LLC last year for the first time, and, like, I posted a status saying that that the Supreme Court was a tax write-off. Every flex that you see is a tax write-off, 10% talent, 90% business. And not what? Everybody knows that, G. Not everybody knows that you could get a tax write-off from this music video under your LLC. Oh, that watch that you just bought, that fucking Belova watch you just got for $500, tax write-off. Those J's you just bought, tax write-off. That camera you just bought, tax write-off. Studio time, tax write-off. Your mileage to get to the studio, tax write-off, you know what I mean? Like, not many people are business savvy or even into that. They want to make dope music and they want to be the famousest and they want to be the crowd pleaser and they want to be like that person, you know? And it's like, nah, take a step back and understand the game for what it is instead of Beverly Hills and a five-story house with 7 cars and bitches. And nah, you got the game. You got the game fucked up.
Yeah, very true. But that's why. But you're leading by example right now. Because even if they don't fuck with you, they're seeing it happen. They're seeing the moves. You know, if they're listening right now, they're hearing exactly why you're doing what you did. So that's powerful. Even though it may not seem or feel like it. I mean, it took me a while to even catch it, and it was the weirdest thing because a close friend of mine that actually helped me get on. He used to always say, like, even though nobody say nothing, bro, no, we see you. And that used to really bother me until I realized what it was. It's like, nah, bro, you're so far ahead. All we can do is see you.
Yep.
So basically we're watching because you keep winning and we're taking notes. But, bro, I used to take that. I literally used to take that personal. Like, what the fuck? What do you mean you see me? Then fucking help me. But
yeah, no, because I've been in the same point. Situation where I'll be like, what? Like, oh, yeah, I see you, G. Or, like, so, like, you know, before I got to where I was at, you know, I was like tier one, you know. I have the little laptop with the little Samsung microphone and not really understanding what music was, you know. I just wanted to create and I just wanted to you know, speak on the mic. So I would always be posting shit, and then there was people above me that been doing this shit since I was a youngin', and me watching them, you know. And for example, Javon Jordan, you know what I mean? Shout out to Javon Jordan. He was the first one from the reservation, my res, to be like a rapper, you know. It was 9 Side Click and Cordell Drake. Shout out to my homie Cordell. You know, they had the Holy Fam way back when I was like 12 years old, 11 years old. You know, I used to come in and out of the house, and you know, they was doing their thing, whatever. And I looked up to that, you feel me? Like, I was like, damn, like, that's dope. Like, you guys are really making music. And like, old boy got the little recording studio in the back of his car, you know. And all he had was his mic and his computer and a little, like, a little styrofoam ball or whatever with a mic went in, which was dope, you know, for a young kid. So coming up, I was like, damn, posting music, you know. Javon would click on one of my shit, and I'm like, yo, share this shit, like, what, like, come on, G. And then he's like, nah, G, like, yeah, I see you, like, yeah, I see you, we gonna get some shit in, and I'm like, well, let's get it in, you know, like, right then and there. I'm like, well, why can't we get something going? And I had to understand it was me progressing, because now that I listen to the music that I was making when I was 15 to now, it's like, whoa, it's night and day. It's night and day. And now I understand where homie was coming from when he's like, I see you. And he gave me my flowers, you know what I mean? He gave me my flowers when it was deserved. And I earned that shit. So to this day, you know, I just got nothing but love and respect for Javon and Cordell, man. Those two were pretty much the pioneers.
Oh yeah.
Process. Nobody likes the process at all. But go ahead.
Hell no.
I was gonna say, you know, the way I look at it, you know, like, and me and Jesse have talked about it. I've said it on air time and time again, you know, and I love watching the trickle down effect, you know, and what I mean by that is, you know, this group or this artist was influenced by this group or this artist, and it goes back and
yep.
it goes back and it goes back and it goes back. So what you do now, you never know what that's going to do for the next generation and what it's going to mean to them that, you know, I grew up on the Rez and, you know, Rez boy, you know, I knew him since I was little and, you know, he made me want to do it too. And you know, da, 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 and all that, you know, so you never know what kind of effect that you're going to have on people, you know, with your creativity
right.
and with your songs and stuff like that. And it's amazing to watch that, you know, and because I mean, if you go back, yeah exactly. Cause if you go back and you look up who influenced this person, who influenced this person, and you can follow that trail back, you know, with research and stuff like that, you know, like we wouldn't have the
yep.
Beach Boys if it wasn't for so-and-so, you know, who influenced them. We wouldn't have, you know, Dre if it wasn't for, you know, this and that. We wouldn't have Linkin Park
yeah.
if it wasn't for, you know, this and that, you know what I'm saying? So, It's amazing to always, you know, to see that process and to watch that trickle down effect, and this generation influences the next generation and how that works. So you never know what your music is gonna, whether you become big time famous or not, that doesn't even fucking matter in the scheme of things, you know.
Nah.
Because you know what you're doing is for you and your outlet, but you don't know what that's going to do to somebody else, you know?
Right.
So it's amazing. And I think that's an excellent segue, you know, cause this show is about music. So I say, let's play some music, you know, we have about an hour in the show already. And, I think it's time, you know, cause every, you know, we've been building this up, you know, Rez Boy and his music, you know, for, you know, a good 45 minutes now. So, you know, we've got two songs from you. So what would you want to play first, you know, on Note by Note Radio Show, first time ever?
Let's go, just go ahead and pick one. The ones that I sent were pretty much, I want to say like marketing type of song. So just go ahead and just, you know, randomly pick.
Just pick one? Okay, all right. This one,
yeah,
I'm gonna go with Round Here.
Oh, okay.
This is what we're gonna do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rez Boy. This is Round Here. We got Rez Boy live on air right now on Note by Note Radio Show and live on our Twitch feed that we just started up recently that I'm excited about. So if you're listening in, you know, check out Rez Boy, you know, follow him. And, be a supporter, you know. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rez Boy. This is Round Here, okay? And Rez Boy, you're going to be back with us, right? Everybody stick with us, and we're going to talk some more, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
All right, cool. All right, so everybody stick around. This is a live show, so if anybody wants to call in, you want to ask some questions or anything, you just want to shout out, show some love, whatever you want to do, doesn't matter, please call in. The number is 718-664-3735. Again, that number is 718-664-9735. Call in and be a part of the show. You know, we love that stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, just stick with us. We'll be right back. Okay.
What happens when you doing good? But just some dirt. They finna bring it up when they get their feelings hurt. I've been waiting on a deal, homie. Yeah, I'm finna splurge. Coming from the red, some gon' hate you undercover. It's a different type of ghetto, don't get caught if they gon' snitch. Friends ask you favors like I ain't just pay they rent. Fool me once, but homie, I'll be damned you do it twice. Homie, where I'm from, it's a field full of mice. And them fiends up, pressing homie, talking about the bag. Homie, roll the dice, doubled up and split the bag. Only family round me, homie, yeah, that's on me. Power moves only, homie, yeah, that's on me.
I told the homie, yeah, it's only up from here. They didn't believe me when I told them, but now we here. I told the homie, we ain't crazy guys around here. Always catch me strapped, we packing around here. I told the homie, yeah, it's only up from here. They didn't believe me when I told them, but now we here.
From the bottom, some can't relate and some couldn't feel this. It's super late and I'm drawing plagues, I'm trying to build it. Cause we ain't never had no help, had to walk through hell, chase the mill. Took a lot of L's and I'm running still. Ain't nothing I could lose, that's why I gotta go. I give you all my truth because that's all I know. It was leaking through the roof, huddle with the troops, push it through. Nothing you can't do and I'm living proof. We from the bottom, you understand it and feel it deep. Example one, why I feel you if you ain't feeling me. Come from a different cloth, born to a different breed. They wanna know where we gone, well look up and see.
I told the homie, yeah, it's only up from here. They didn't believe me when I told them, but now we here.
Now we here.
Told the homie, we ain't crazy guys around here. We packing around here. I told them on me, yeah, it's only up from here. They didn't believe me when I told them, but now we here. Now we told them on me, we ain't crazy guys around here. Always catch me strapped, we packing around.
We back.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I got a few extra buttons I got to push, and I'm trying to get used to it and do it in a quick fashion. Because we're doing on two things right. You know, we're streaming live on two different steps right now. So that's my bad. But we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Note by Note Radio Show with me broadcasting from his home. Jesse lives. We got Res Boy on the line right now. We talking, man, and I'll tell you what, I love that song, man. I love that song for real.
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, man.
You know, so I've been following you. I've been following you for several months now. We've had no communication. I just, you know, I believe you sent me a friend request on Facebook and stuff like that, and I was like, well, who the fuck is this? And I'm like, oh shit, he's an artist. It's got to be, you know, somebody through Jesse or somebody through Cordell, you know, and everything like that. So, I'm excited that, you know, we finally getting to do this and everything like that. So, you know, to me, this is awesome. This is a good Friday right here for me. You know, plus
hell
I'm,
yeah,
you know,
I appreciate you know, that.
I'm up in the house I drinking, you know, too. I'm doing my thing,
shit,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm following them.
Yeah, I got some black and tans, and I got some Crown Royal Peach, and you know, we feeling good right now.
I'm mad at you.
So,
gotta
do our thing. But you know, so I'm gonna do it like a combo question because I want to hear about two things here real quick, and then you know Jesse can ask a question and everything. So. And I always ask this to everybody, so I don't want you to feel like, you know, it's just you because I ask this of every artist. But is there a moment or an experience, you know, something happened, you know, in your life that made you say, you know what, I'm gonna do hip hop. I'm gonna lay some tracks down, and I don't give a shit if anybody hears it, you know, but I'm gonna do it.
Yep.
You know, I'm gonna do it for me.
Yeah.
I want to know that. And then, you know, tell us about around here, you know, a little bit, you know, what was going on, you know, when you came out with that song and stuff like that. So it's kind of a little combo there. That's just because,
you know,
we spent so long time in the, you know, first segment of the show and stuff like that. I you know, you had so much to say, I didn't get much in, you know what I'm saying?
Kind of got carried away with a little history lesson.
Nothing wrong with that, you know. We got 55 more minutes.
It makes sense now that you've heard the music, it makes sense why the first conversation needed to be had because the music was never a question.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
That's literally why I wanted to go that way, because the boy's music is a problem. You know what I'm saying? So we don't even got to talk about it. I wouldn't have had him on here if shit was trash. So
definitely not what you would think you would hear if you talk about, you know, his life and his bio and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And the little excerpt that we got, you know, on him. You know, so when it really does, I mean, like, even in the bio, it says, you know, but you know, when you listen to his tracks, you'd never guess it. And that's fucking spot on to the situation that we're going in. So I'm glad that it's worded just exactly how it is, you know, on the bio for the description of the show today. So, is there something that flipped the switch and then, you know, and then tell me about the song.
I got you. So, there was this time when I was like, 9, 10 years old, right? I was living in a trailer at the time. We didn't have no heat. We didn't have no electricity. Shit got turned off. So, my mom's and pops, and this ain't to talk down on them or anything, or to embarrass them or any of that. But my mom's and pops, you know, they were meth heads. They were dope fiends. So they was in the room, you know, the room was always closed. And, you know, me and my parents, you know, we talked about the situation and they allowed me to speak on it. So, let's get that out of the way. But anyways, they would be in the room, right? So it's like, imagine walking into a house, no lights, you know, it's kind of dark. It's, you know, outside, it's getting late, kind of, you know, no lights, no heat, kind of cold. I'm sitting right there with this boombox, the old school boombox. You didn't even have to plug it in. And I had the Get Rich or Die Trying album. That's when 50 Cent came out with his Get Rich or Die Trying album. My grandma stole it from me from Walmart.
Batteries.
Yeah.
On the boombox.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. 80 batteries on the boombox.
Yup. So anyway, CD on, and I'm over there listening to it, writing every lyric down, every lyric to every track. You know, Many Men. I got what do you have on there? I know. I got Get Rich or Die Trying, and then I got the Massacre album. So I was writing a bunch of his shit, just writing word for word. You know, like, this is dope. Like, I'm writing music. And then I was like, you know what? If I could write his tracks or his songs, then I could write my own songs. So I started writing, you know, just putting words together. It wasn't totally great. It was just pretty much about my situation and what I was going through. But that's really what sparked it, you know, that moment right there. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting there at the table, and I'm like, damn, I'm bored. You know, I'm bored as hell. Like, ain't shit to do. Moms and pops doing the same old shit in the back. No electricity, no TV. I'm going to slap this in there. And then, ever since then, gee, I always had that in the back of my head. Like, you know what? One of these days, I'm going to make my own song. I don't care about if it's played or not. I just want to make it for me so I could hear it. Because every time I make a song till this day, I'm listening to that shit back. Repeat after repeat after repeat after repeat. And I'll be like with my phone to my ear, you know, like I just got out of the studio and I'm like, yeah, this shit hard right here. And I'll replay it. That's just how I am. And then I'll show it to the world with a video or whatever. The numbers, I ain't even really tripping about it. Like it's really, with me, it's like if it goes, it goes. If it don't, it don't. As long as I'm expressing myself and getting some shit across on a track, then cool. You know, we got them artists that like to be like, oh yeah, that shit's so dope. We could do this with it, or we could do that, and this is gonna blow up. And then it goes and it gets 100 views, and they're like, man, it's fucked up. You know, and nobody supports me, man. Where's my support at? Like my status if you supporting me, blah blah, you know. And it's like, nah, like it's gonna come. If it comes, it's gonna come, and if it don't, it don't. Because what you really do is you set yourself up for failure when you have so much excitement for something and then it don't go. That strains on your I don't want to say your ego, but it strains you as a person and as an artist, and it's kind of discouraging. You feel me? Like, I don't care who you are, that shit's kind of discouraging when you have big plans for something.
It definitely,
you know,
fucks with your confidence. That's what it do.
Yeah.
It fucks with your confidence.
Definitely. So that's really where it came from, you know. Mr. Curtis Jackson, dog, like that's where it all started for me. You know, I remember going to Walmart and my grandma, She would still, I was like, "Grandma, could you get this for me?" And she, you know, she put it in her bag, and then we left. The alarm's going off, and she's like, "Come on, fat boy." They used to call me, my nickname was Fat Boy when I was little because I used to be fat, but I'm skinny. And but yeah, anyway, so that was.
Why well, still fat? The fuck you? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really what started it all off, and then around here. I was dabbling into some shit, you know what I mean? I had to make some shit happen. I got seven kids, right? I'm 27 years old. I got seven kids. I got a lot of miles to feed. And at the time, you know, I wasn't employed, so I was really out there doing what I had to do. And, you know, I was like, man, how could I make a song that's not going to be too of the same, you know, and speak about where I speak about my territory and speak about what goes on in my territory without saying too much to like interrogate myself. You know what I mean? So there on round here, I told the homie, I'm like, look, dog, I just got this plug and it's up from here. G, like we up, like we going to be up. You know what I mean? And it, cause you know, you bringing in a lot of money with some shit, you know, especially around these parts, you know, shit is hella expensive and I'm not going to be specific on what it was or this or that, but
No need. Don't speak on no, and don't speak in no open cases, and nothing you can't say. Unless
yes,
you're
sir.
Sure. So
yes,
don't
sir.
Do that.
Anyway, I know the rules. You feel me? So anyway, I was just like telling the
we are not Vlad,
like,
so
up.
You don't got to do that to yourself.
Yeah, we not Vlad. Yeah, fuck Vlad. That motherfucker got. Oh man. Anyway. But, yeah, so I was just really making the song around here pretty much, you know, what goes on around here. And it's like, it's only up from here, dog. Like, this is it. You know, I actually was out doing what I was doing, and then I hit rock bottom. And I was like, you know what, G? It's only up. So I told the homie, yeah, it's only up from here. And that's where that came from, because I told the homie, I was like, you know what, G? I'm on rock bottom right now. You know what? It's only up. And then I was like, melodic and shit, and I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And then I did the shit, and you know, speaking on the situation, on like, you know, don't get caught up because these motherfuckers gonna snitch. I already been a part of that. I got paperwork, you know, and that's case closed. You know what I mean, motherfuckers? You gonna get yourself into some shit. These guys are gonna tell when it comes down to it. You know what I mean? Not many people could, you know, get interrogated and be like, look, you got so many of this. This is a life sentence right here, just so you know. If you don't tell me what's going on or who's organizing this shit, you're going down for life. And they're like, oh, yeah, it was this, so-and-so. They met him over here, and they getting it over there, and woo, woo, woo. And I'm like, damn. So it was really a fucked-up situation, and I made it into a positive situation because, I was like, you know what, man? Once I heard the word was out, you know, I got the paperwork sent to me, and I had a couple people looking out, and there was like, hey, G, this is what's gonna go down, and it's hella small, man. You could tell an undercover from a mile away. You know, it's hella small over here. So I jumped up out the game. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna lay low. Fuck this shit. Boom. I got my money over here. Whoa. I'm gonna go do this. I'm gonna go do that, and we only going up. So I left that all up. I left everything to the side, G. All that street shit, all that, you know, dealing with you was dealing. I left it all behind me because, one, I got too much to lose, and two, if I'm gone, how are my miles gonna eat? You know what I mean? Even though I'm making it right now, you know, this shit could take me away for years, just, you know, 5 years. You know what I mean? I'm talking about 25, 30. You know, like felony shit. So I'm like, I had to take myself out of the situation again, look from the inside, from the outside in, and ended up making the right decision.
Let's get
made round here a part of, you know, a part of the positivity coming from the negative. You know, I can make a positive from a negative anytime.
I'm trying to cut you off here. We've got somebody that's been on hold for about 7 minutes now. I chime in and let them know that there's going to be a second. But we do want to let, you know, the caller have their time there. Hopefully they got a good question lined up. They want to ask you stuff like that, show some love, something like that. So we're going to bring them on real quick and see what's going on. Hello, you're on live with the Note by Note Radio Show. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Benny Boomai. I just wanted to shout out my boy, Rez Boy. You know, he's a real stand-up guy, real boss, real leader, you know, and he's doing great things. And, you know, I just wanted to show some love to let everybody know that, you know, this nigga right here is the truth right here. I'll fuck with you the long way, bro. And, you know, I appreciate everything that you ever done for me. Real shit.
That's love. Love,
yes, sir.
Hell yeah.
I'll be seeing you soon, G.
Yes, sir, G. We on our way.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah, man.
All right, G.
Hey, love, I appreciate your patience, man, before we can get you on. Thank you, man, for the call. Have a great night. There we go. All right, cool.
Yeah, he skipped on you. It's all good.
Yeah, he just wanted to show some love and that's not, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
Jesse, I'm sure you got something to ask.
So, well, I mean, it's actually, I don't have very many questions to ask because with Rez, I'm just going to call you that for short, with Rez, it's more like I'm just having a conversation with one of my partners that I ain't talked to in a minute. So,
well, like me, when me and you talk.
Yeah. He's in that category, you know. And because for me, Montana is one of my many stomping grounds. So I've always kept my ear, you know, I keep my ear to the prospective ground, even though I keep my relative distance. I'm an introvert like that. And for him, it's more about just people knowing who he is. You see what I'm saying? And people really not being afraid to speak on him. Because right now he's up. It's just facts. I mean, who the fuck am I? That's just my opinion. So
Jesse fucking
that's
lives.
What I'm about in this show. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Love,
but you know
dude.
How I like to say, you know, everybody wanna speak off opinion. This is just my opinion. He's one of the many cats that I feel like, you know, if he stay in the direction he going, he up. And that's dope because shit, I've never met Superman. I've heard of Superman via certain people, and being an artist myself, like that's just a person I've never really ran into like that. But I know him, and his music is more. I'm more nothing because what Superman does is fucking dope, but what Rez Boy makes, I'm apt to listen to because I relate to it, and that's dope to me because that's a common. It's a common bond between my culture and his culture because just on a social tip, like most black people are only black because somebody told them they were black. They're actually natives and don't know it. And so that's a whole other thing we could get into, but let's not do that today. So I just don't want to get into the point where I'm just like totally like, bro, Rez is dope. Rez is next. Cause you know how motherfuckers think, like, you motherfucking dick, right? No, like, I think he's dope. Like, so fuck it. Let's let him have his minute to let you motherfuckers know who's who. If you didn't know, now you do. You know, I'm co-signing it right now. I feel like coming out of Montana right now, this is one of the voices that need to be heard that's actually legitimate. There's a lot of rappers in Montana, no diss to them, but not all of them are legitimate. And this is one of them guys. And a co-sign for me goes a long way because I don't like rappers. I don't really fuck with nobody. And I don't, you know, I am. Like, I'm hard on music. Oh, them bars suck because I'm a bar. So.
Bars over the bullshit, baby.
That's why I'm talking less during this interview. Because I have, ironically, I have nothing but positive things to say. And I think you've heard more in this interview than you're going to hear in many other interviews already. Yeah. I mean, because this man has a mission and he's just being himself. And that's the dope thing. You rarely hear someone that, bro, I got a mission, but this is just my reality.
Yeah, yep.
You know, and that's dope. That's dope. You know what I mean? Because, shit, what is your motivation? I mean, what better motivation?
My motivation, my G, that's my kids ultimately, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I want to try to teach them that it's cool to express yourself, you know? A lot of people will be like, well, you know, my kids, because I want to get rich and I want to make $1 million and this, that, and the third. Nah, it's really just my way in form of how I express myself, you feel me? Because not everybody is really hip to expressing themselves. One, because they're too worried about who is going to say what or who's going to disagree with them.
Two,
right.
They don't want to be the the one with the spotlight on them. They don't want that. They don't want that attention. They don't know what to do when it's time to talk. They don't know what to say or even what to like. They just don't know it. And it's hella sad because everybody, if you ask, if you could get 10 rappers right from a city and you bring them together and be like, hey, what's your motivation? I guarantee you, 9 out of them 10 rappers are going to be like, I want $1 million. I want some jewelry. I want this or I want that. You know what I mean?
I want the bitches and the cars.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and that's really, really, you know, that would be nice. Don't get me twisted. That would be hella nice. But at the same time, I got to come to realization and you know, understand it for what it is. And like, hey, is this shit really going to be like, I'm going to drop a song and I'm going to be rich? You know, am I going to express myself and then I'm going to be a celebrity and this, that? Nah. So my main motivation, G, is really my kids and just expressing myself and my freedom of speech and try to educate as well as give an insight of where I come from. Because, you know, we all know how it is in the streets of Chicago just from rap songs and shit. You know, we know how it is in California from rap songs. We know how it goes down in New York from the rap songs. But you speak about a native reservation, we don't really know. Oh, hold up, could you? We really don't know what goes down on a reservation, let alone, you know, people really don't even know what we do. Like, when it's a powwow season, everybody, you know, the term powwow is like a rendezvous, right? Everybody gets together and congregates. Powwow to us is a spiritual healing event where we go and we put on regalia, we put on feathers, we put on beadwork, and we dance to a drum, to a drum, people that are drumming and singing, you know, that is way, it's not original for others, you know what I mean? If you go to YouTube and type in Northern Cree or Midnight Express drum group and just listen to that, I guarantee you're going to be like, damn, what is this shit? They got Grammys from those songs, you feel me? So it's like people don't understand that either, you know? So in conclusion, my motivation would be my freedom of speech, my kids, and my reservation.
Hell yeah.
Oh, but that's what makes you a celebrity, that right there, for the fact that that is your only reason for doing it, you know. It's the weirdest thing. The more you try to be something, the harder that shit becomes. Like, and it must suck. Like, people who have images, because there's a lot of people, artists that have images because they're in it for the fame part and the glitz and the glamour. But it must suck to have to be that guy. Always, you can't be Jeff no more. You gotta be this asshole. You gotta pretend to be here for the rest of your life. So, I feel like those people, even though there's a famous Pusha T line, you boys would rather be famous than rich. So, those famous people, it's almost like they're in prison. They're trapped forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your realness is really what makes you a celebrity. It's an oxymoron based on the game that we're in. It's a complete oxymoron, but it's the real. Like, all the real celebrities I know are motherfuckers that, like, will walk by you every day and you won't even know it. You don't even know that that's the guy that can be like, hey, put him on. Give him a budget.
Yeah.
You just think this is some lame motherfucker, you know, and come to find out he's the dude that these fuckers answer to. That's how the music game is.
Yeah.
A lot of these, the people that run shit, they look like regular motherfuckers you would think have nothing to do with the game.
Right.
So that's my take on celebrity. Like, if I'm famous for anything, I want to be famous for having the power to make moves.
Yeah.
Not because, don't get me wrong, I would love to have a hot song, but I would rather have the respect of, my opinion matters in the scheme of it.
Yep. That's exactly it right there. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we all, you know, you have a hot song, that's dope. You know, everybody that's what everybody, you know, that's what they would like. You know, they would like for a hot song, something hot. But at the end of the day, it doesn't faze me if it's not, you know. And sometimes you get some individuals that are dope ass artists, and they're making music, and they may be the talk of the town or whatever, the talk of the state for a little bit, and then they drop a song, and it doesn't perform well, and then that just fucks them up, and they're like, yeah, fuck this. You gotta keep going.
Right. Mm. Right.
You gotta push bullshit.
Well, that's what you gotta
real.
Stand on. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was just saying, you got
to
push the bullshit.
You don't have nothing
bullshit.
To stand on.
Yeah.
You know, true.
That's bad, though.
So, let's get into this. Being that, yes, I'm crowning you a voice in your area. What do you feel like for whatever this music scene that's happening, whatever this thing is music-wise that's happening in your area, what would you like to see happen in it, and with the artist in it, and so on and so forth? What direction do you want to see it go in?
Say that one more time, IG. You're just cutting out.
I said, in the music scene that you're being a part of creating, what would you like to see happen in it with, like, the artist and the direction of the music? What would you like to see happen?
What I would like to see, G, I would like us to all come as one. Because when we come as one, we a lot stronger in areas that we weren't when we were just one. Coming together and elevating the music scene in a positive, influential way, like, and we've been doing this a little bit last year, but, like, you know, bringing the community out, bringing the youth out, and just, you know, showcasing that this shit is all possible through whatever, you know, giving hope to those that been in the same situations that I've been in, or been in the same situations as my peers, you know, as these artists that are coming from here. Because at the same time, bro, a lot of these kids that are growing up right now in this very exact area, it's a cycle. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. And I'm sure it goes for everywhere. But over here, you know, I want to make it to be like, you don't have to move away from here to get a better life, or you don't have to move in a different town or a different state to get better, or to want better. You know, people mistake that, oh, well, this is a shithole, and there's drugs, and there's this, and there's that, and I got to get away from it because I can't get sober. It's like, nah, that's how it is everywhere. You have to create that. You got to want that shit.
Right.
So I just want to, my the ultimate goal is to come together as one, if we can, and to spread hope and show the youth and show everybody in the community that, look, this is all possible to reach the next level and to be, you know, doing features with maybe some mainstreamers, you know, like there's some dope ass mainstream artists that are genuine, you know, and I know there's some that are just arrogant and famous, you know, that when I say famous, I mean like they stuck up type shit. But there's a few, very far and few in between. There's some good ones out there, G, and the ultimate goal, that would be the ultimate goal, dog, is just to come together as one and to show everybody that it's all possible. Like, everything is possible as long as you keep on pushing through it, no matter what. No matter what gets in your way, no matter, you know, I had to bury my homies, G, at a young age. I had to bury homies because of suicide. It wasn't because of people shooting each other. It was because of them shooting themselves. So it's a lot. It's way different.
Wow.
You know? So I want to be able to, like, bring that positive and bring out the good in somebody and bring out that kid, I guess, you know, that too many people want to grow up so fast. And it's like, nah, slow down.
That's true.
Know that everything's
possible. That's very true.
That would be the my ultimate goal right there.
That would be lovely, but we both know that's a task.
Yeah,
I mean, I hate that I even laugh like that, but
it's true though.
Unity is a task, man. It's hard because I don't know what it is, but that's the one thing that's bad about coming up in a community where where struggle is a common thing. Everyone's in kind of a secret competition with everyone else to get theirs.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
You know, so,
and that's exactly. We went through that. You know, we're still going through it to this day. And it's more like you said, G. Like how you laughed and you said like, you know, it's hard because egos get in the way, dog, and people don't like to play the position.
Right.
It's like, look, if we all one team, you know what I mean, and say my boy Magic, say he popping right now, right? That doesn't mean that
right.
we're gonna go to the studio and I'm gonna be like, hey, let me jump, he's doing a solo track and I'm right there, let me jump on that. You know, it's like, yo, play your position, sit back, let the creativeness flow through. You know what I mean? Let's all come together and keep this dude up. You know what I mean? That's part of
right.
playing your position and letting the ego go
right.
because a lot of the times motherfuckers is just like, I want to be that guy. Oh, if it wasn't for me, then this wouldn't have happened. Or if it wasn't for this, then this wouldn't have happened. And it's just like you said, G. It's wishful thinking for sure. You know what I mean? But
oh yeah, definitely.
It's just in back of my head because we've done it before, but at the same time, it's like after we've done it, it's like you got people out there being like, yeah, the reason why we did this was, you know, because of me, and the reason why you got paid was because of me, and it's like, man, shut the fuck up, dog. Like, we all supposed to be one, and you over here tripping because somebody got paid a little bit more than you or somebody didn't get paid. You was a part of it. You was a part of the movement that ended up on the New York Times, but you over here still tripping that you didn't get the $500 or whatever, you know what I mean? So, and that just goes with everywhere, you know, and I noticed that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, unity is a real struggle, especially when you have – the one thing that – I mean, even I am guilty of this. Like, the idea that you're going to just come into the game and treat everybody fair and everybody's going to treat you fair in exchange and you're going to fuck with people, and they're going to appreciate. Like, I was under that delusion that that was going to happen. Like, motherfuckers see I'm 100, they're going to be 100 back. Man, bro,
yeah.
If I could go back and
that
say, motherfucker, slap the hell out of
him
and be like, well, if you don't wake the fuck up, man. But it is a good – I mean, it's an ambition I still have, and it's dope to hear that other people have it. But I know now
mm-hmm.
that it's a task because, truthfully, most motherfuckers don't want to be unified. They want to be the man just because, you know?
And I've been through that too, dog. And that's crazy that you say that because even right now I'm like, yeah, that shit won't ever happen. Like in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, that shit won't ever happen, though, like at all. Because motherfuckers are going to be like, hey, G, let's do this, right? Let's go. And I'm going to pay you this much or whatever. But they be taking a little bit out of the top. They be taking some money
right.
off. They be taking the bag, right? They be taking the big bag and giving you the little bag, and you thinking that it's all love, right? You thinking, oh, this motherfucker keeping 100. He just split the $1,000 with me. Little did I know, he got 5,500 and gave me 500. It's shit like
welcome
that.
To the music
like
business.
And that's exactly like
bro.
I've been through it, even over here. Even over here on the res, G, like we solidified a group of people, you know, and some of the people that in our group branched off. They opened up a little studio with a business studio or whatever, and they had the audacity to be like, yo, come over to the studio, let's record. And we go over there, we pull up, and we're like, yeah, we're gonna record for a little bit. Well, how much hours you want to record? And it's like, you'll be here for a little bit, like maybe 5-6 hours. All right, yeah, it's gonna be like $350, and I'm like, wait, what? Like you over, like we was just one, and now you telling me that you know, come record.
Yeah.
I get over there, and you telling me that you know $350. Okay, that's how the game goes. Oh, I feel you. You got to make money. You got to keep this. You got to pay for the building. Got to pay for the rent, the lights, this, that.
But at the same time, it just caught me off guard, like, see these motherfuckers' true colors.
Right, and it's really just
yeah.
how you go about it. And I think that's a hard part of the game is it's not like, because I'm a, shit, once again, I'm going to tell myself again, that's mistakes I've made in the past. It's not realizing it was how I went about certain things at certain times. Because that situation would have been different if it would have been like, hey, we doing this thing right here, but it's going to cost us some money.
Yeah.
To keep it popping, you know? And I guarantee you that would have, the whole perspective of the situation would have been different because now you understand, like, no, I'm not even trying to get breaded out on you. Like, I'm trying to do a bigger thing, and I need y'all support on it to keep it so we have – so because even that, just having a dope studio – dope studios are a timeless thing. There's certain studios on the planet that certain hit songs were made in that you want to record in that studio because this is where they record. Think about this. If you could record in the studio that Jay-Z recorded Reasonable Doubt in, like in the actual booth, on the actual mic, with the actual engineer, that makes a big difference because it's like, it's a weird thing. It's like energy's there. There's something special about this place that we can trace back to fucking, but we go about it wrong a lot of times because I don't think we take the time to study the game itself and the business itself and how to properly treat each other. Because we're not always honest. And that's real. Rappers are some lying motherfuckers. And so that's a big problem right there. Because I think if you would just be genuine with people and just be like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, and this is why I'm asking you for A, B, C, and D, it makes sense to them. Because if they got common sense and they about their money, they get it. But that's not usually it. It's usually like, well, get in where you fit in, bro. And if you too broke, just say it. It's usually that shit. And you know that never goes right.
Nah, hell nah.
No. We got about 20 minutes left. And I just want to give, you know, the music that we've received from him, you know, it's due diligence, it's due time and everything like that. So let's play that other song. We got about 20 minutes left. Resby, you gonna finish out the show with us, Resby?
Yeah, G, I'll finish out the show. I just want to give a big shout out to my homie Edwards over there at the Treehouse. We on our way to the studio right now, so I just want to give a big shout out to him. He was the feature on Round Here. He was the second verse, the homie Edwards. Yeah, EB holding it down in Kalispell, Montana at the Treehouse. Big love,
man, listen, he's on interview, and he's on his way to the studio right now to do some shit. Like, damn it, man. Like, that's what this shit's about right here, man. I love that. I love that. So we've got this other song. This song is called Changed. And when we come back, we talk about this song a little bit, and then we can wrap it up here. Like I said, we got about 20 minutes, and we'll wrap it up with Resby. And, you know, I'm a preface this with, you know, thank you so much for your time tonight. You know, and I'm going to say it again a time or two before we hang up. But I just want to let you know that right now that, you know, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on air with us. And I thank you so much, man.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me, my G. Big shout out to Jesse, my G. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah. Dude, all right. Hell, fucking, yeah.
I told you I was going to do what I could when I could, bro. So.
Yep. And you came through.
Hell yeah. So this, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Resby. If you haven't already, go follow him, you know, on his Facebook page and everything like that. Keep up with what he's got going on and stuff like that. We've got an album set to release around May this year. So, and we're going to talk about that right before we get him off air and everything like that. But this is the other song that we've got him for tonight. This is Changed. And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Just stay tuned with us, okay?
I just get my distance, I know that they acting funny. I just get my distance, loving drugs, don't. been down bad, so now it's down. Family only show me they gon' pick and choose sides. Loving drugs will never make the devil in disguise. You say I look for pity, I'm just telling my side. Mom's tryna blackmail me like she's on my sister. Whenever you mad, he tell me how you really feel. Tell me I'm across the case, but who supplied the pills? As long as you be making little money off the deal. Run into the book and tell me one side of the story. I'm sorry you feel the way you feel. I finally have the words for the way that I feel. Apply a little pressure, speak the truth, they gon' get mad. Moms was all late picking out a split ass. Pops was on the game, I don't think he went to bed. Switched out the light for a blacklight tool. Waking up at 7 and we gotta go to school. Tell me that I changed. Distance, I'm focused on making money. I just kept my distance, I know that they all be talking. I just kept my distance, I know that they acting funny. Yeah. Tell me that I changed. Yeah. Tell me that I changed.
Let me look at that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. With me broadcasting from his home studio is my boy Jesse Lives. We got Rez Boy on the air. Man, it is fucking popping up in here. What's going on, gentlemen?
Yo, yo.
Oh, well, you know, listening to some songs, talking some shit, you know how it go.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. So Rez Boy, take us through Change, man.
Yeah, so Change... It was really, I was really going through it at the time, you know what I mean? And I was dabbling around in some things, and, you know, me, moms and pops really don't have a, we really didn't have a good relationship, you know what I mean? From the things that we was brought up in from a kid, you know, and it kind of led into adult life, and we had our differences and kind of just split ways. I like to speak about, you know, real shit, real emotion, real energy. And Change was like, you know, my mom's just telling me, hey, man, like, you changed. Like, you changed a lot. You know, you doing things that you never used to do, and you act in a certain way. And I'm like, oh, you're telling me that I changed. And but you over there on Facebook, you know, she was on Facebook bashing me and shit. And I'm her son, you know. And, you know, besides all that, I know this is a – the change was maybe, I think, a year old, I think. Me and moms reestablished our relationship and, you know, let bygones be bygones. And, you know, we just heard each other out and understood it for what it was. And, you know, we only get one mom in this life, and I went maybe 2 years without talking to her. And it's a good relationship now, you know. We rebuilt it. We got a bond. And, you know, we move forward from the past, but with Change, that's really where that came from. Is, you know, my mom's just telling me that I changed, and you know, doing some drugs, and I was focused on just making money, and not worrying about, you know, what anybody else got to say about what I do or who I do it with and when I do it, you know. So that's really how Change came about.
Hey, that's heavy. That's heavy, man.
Yeah, geez. It was.
I'm kind of stuck right there. That's
right. I don't know what to say in that situation. Like, oh shit, damn, fuck. What do
yeah,
I do?
It was a real thing, you know. And I got a couple more tracks, you know, that I didn't throw out there. But at the same time, you know, my mom's. It's like I said, it's small over here, so we all know everybody. So when I dropped the song, everybody already knew what was going on. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there's some things that a lot of people don't know, but there's some things that, you know, you could kind of get a hint and you take it for what it is. So that's how it was. I just channeled the emotions, and I was just like, I'm gonna make a track about this shit. You know, I made a track about I should have sent it to Jesse, but it's called Guilty. And the hook for that is like, the hook for Guilty, it starts off like, I know what it likes to have some parents who do dope. I know what it feels like to be paid and to be broke, and where I come from, and it's barely even hope. So it's like I'm speaking about, you know, the shit that I was going through and the shit that I seen, and they were trying to fault me for that. I'm like, it's really, it's not me talking down on you or trying to embarrass you. It's just me talking and speaking real shit, real true shit that I went through, and I can't filter it. Because
hell
then
yeah.
what makes it authentic if you're filtering shit? It doesn't make it
exactly.
authentic. So
Exactly.
That's where it all came from, yeah.
Hell yeah, do you.
And that's
you know
that's a struggle
don't,
right there, too, right there.
Don't be fake. To be fake.
But that's the thing. So many people are scared to be themselves.
Yeah,
being fake is some fuckboy shit. I'm being honest with you. Being fake is some fuckboy shit. Whether it ruins relationships, whether you know, or friendships or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Be real, be true. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the bottom line.
Right, and I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. But in the culture we talking about, peer pressure has more power than honesty.
Yep.
So
yep.
And it's a lot of it is just, it's oxymoron. I get it. It's ass backwards, but you'd be surprised how much peer pressure controls what people do. And I'm talking about grown ass people, especially.
Yeah, because I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand too. You know what I mean? Like, I could be rapping about, you know, sipping drink and smoking and doing all this crazy shit. You know, because you know I'll be dabbling around just to have fun, you know, go to the studio, some studio shenanigans. I don't know, addict shit, you know what I mean? Not to say that, you know, an addict is any less, because, you know, I've been in that same position before, but motherfuckers be talking crazy, you know, but we already know what be going on behind the scenes. Like, come on, man, you ain't riding like that. You ain't riding with no 100K like that. You ain't got no AK like that. You ain't got no drink. Could you even afford a drink? You know what I mean? Like that's the thing, and people don't understand that. It's like you want to be cool to the outside world. You want the naked eye to see you as, oh, you really this person and you really about that. The only people that think that shit is cool is these young ass kids and them adults that still be playing them childish-ass games. You feel me? And it's like...
Right. People who don't know better.
I separate. Exactly. And I separate myself. I separate myself from that shit. Like, you know, I don't want to associate myself with that, because what is that going to make me look like?
Man, I hate that fucking, you know, high school drama bullshit. We are grown-ass adults now. That's just done.
That's...
Could be
yep,
stupid.
That shit dead.
You know,
yeah.
You either said it or you didn't. You either believe
yep.
it or you don't. Pick one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, because
exactly.
that sidestepping bullshit ain't going to do nothing but get you fucked up in the end.
Facts.
Yeah.
Real shit.
You know,
motherfuckers think it's a game.
Age don't mean maturity.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
I know some 40-year-olds that still be in the in mama's basement. You feel me? But
exactly.
Like,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Said.
And who the fuck you going to sit there and talk like you 40s in your fucking mama's basement? Fuck, you better grow the fuck up. Get yourself a job
yep.
and fucking move the fuck out.
Quit driving mama's Chrysler around the town,
exactly.
dog. You too old for that. You picking up old girl that just graduated high school, dog, in mama's Chrysler. Come on, G. Shit.
What you doing, homie? What you doing? Oh, fuck.
You got me fucked
shit.
Up, dog. I,
hell yeah.
Like I said, I got 7 kids. I got a van. I got a fucking Tahoe, Suburban Sport, and I got a truck, and I got a little Toyota. I mean, not, and I'm not trying to boast, but it's just the grown folks shit. You know what I mean? I'm 27.
Hey, speaking of which, I just want to ask you this question real quick.
Yeah.
What are them babies' age range from?
All right, yeah, so I got my oldest daughter.
Good question.
She's 13. She's an eighth grader right now.
Okay.
My oldest daughter, she's 13, yeah, and then my second oldest is my son, and he's 10, or no, he's actually 11. So I got I got a 13-year-old, my son's 11, my other daughter's 11, and then I got a 7-year-old, and then I got a 5-year-old, and then I got a 2-year-old. I got three boys and 4 girls.
Hey, you know what? It's a good daddy because he can remember all their ages. That's
I gotta make sure I count them on my hand.
One small step for mankind.
What he got is a hoop squad.
Hey, I got a basketball.
He got a hoop squad.
Hell yeah. He's got an entourage already.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
I started young, though, G. Like, I was like 15 when I found out that my girl was pregnant with my first boy. And me and his mom ended up splitting. And then I only have 2 baby mamas, though. Don't get it twisted. Only 2 baby mamas. And right now, my wife is my last one.
And that's it.
Yes, sir. I'm
hey,
done.
So you
I got
it
my
right. That's a dope thing.
I'm glad you found it soon because
I'm
glad you found it soon because it took me 36 years to find my baby mama. Oof, my girl right now. Oof,
yeah.
Oof, we can't even have no babies. But by God, that's my baby mama because I love that woman.
Hell yeah.
And she a cougar and everything.
Hey, that's the same thing. My girl, 5 years older than me.
Shit. Mine's 10 and she fine as fuck.
Hell yeah. I remember I was 19, dog. I was 19 years old. She was 24.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
I was like, shit, my girl almost 30.
Shit. I fuck with it, bro. I fuck with it, man. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
It's all love.
So let's get into this album before we run out of time, man.
We got about seven and a half minutes.
So this album coming that I got coming, it's been a long time coming, right? Before I really established myself, I had this album in mind called Rez Side, REZSIDE. And the whole purpose for the album is just to talk about the Rez side, you know, like it's the Rez side of the story. And like going back to not many people knowing what goes on the Rez, or, you know, what the Rez is or where the Rez is at, let alone know that we have the largest freshwater lake on this side of the state, you know. So I'm going to get into a lot of things, just Rez shit, you know, Rez shit. And it's crazy because the Rez shit is so similar to the hood shit. You know, we be doing the same shit. You know, the hot dogs with the hot dogs and the macaroni, you know, the ramen noodles type shit.
What you got to do, man. That's what you got to do.
So many, G. So that's the album. That's the name of the album, I guess, and I really haven't officially released it besides right here, so shit. There it is. Rez Side is going to be coming May. I ain't going to say specific date because every time I say specific date, it gets pushed back. So I ain't even going to say. I'm just going to say May, and that's it because I know for sure it's May.
Hell yeah.
But what I will tell you, you heard it here first, bitches.
Damn right. On Don't Find Out Radio Show.
Here first.
Hell yeah, Wicked Curiosity Media, baby, here on Nope I Nope Radio Show.
Hey, I appreciate that. It's all love, my G. Thank you all for having me.
Hell yeah, man.
Anytime, when you do drop that record, come back and let's review that record on air.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it, for
let's
real.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah, let's hit you up, you know, 5-6 months from now, something like that, and we get you back on here, and we talk about it, man. We see what's happening in that time frame. Hell yeah.
Blog Talk Radio, I appreciate y'all, man. Hey, big shout-out to Blog Talk. Y'all the real ones. Big shout-out to my homie Jesse. Big shout-out to my homie Benny for calling in. And big shout-out to my homie Magic. You know, we driving up to the studio. We on our way to the Treehouse East. We on our way. We running on Indian time. I know I said 6. It's 5:54, and we about 45 miles out.
Hell yeah. Hey, man, y'all be safe. Y'all be good. Don't be getting in trouble, man. We want you back on the show, man, for real, man.
Yeah, sounds good, my G. You're going to hear from me come May.
Hell yeah, man.
Definitely.
Fuck yeah.
Look forward to it.
I can't wait, man. Can't wait, brother. It's here live on Wiki Curiosity Media, baby. Nope, I know radio show. We got Rez Boy. Man, I can't thank you enough for your time, man, because I know time is precious to an artist. So it really means a lot to me for you to take, you know, 2 hours out of your day and to speak with us, man. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Hey, man, have a great weekend, okay, brother. Be safe out there.
He already checked out.
Yeah.
Good show.
Very good show. Hell fucking yeah, man. It's a great show. That's a great show. Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So, Jess, you got the final goodbyes, you know, before we get off air here? We got about 3.5 minutes.
No, man. I mean, I think we're tapping into something. We just need to continue with these legendary conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, because this is what's going to happen, man. One of these guys we have on here is going to make it big. And then they're going to come back. And they're going to show us some love because we showed them some love here. And,
facts.
You know, so, and it's going to boost us up, man. And we're going to do what we're going to do, you know, after the fact, man. I can't wait. It's going to happen. I know it. I feel it. Because there ain't no way you have all these spectacular artists come on with these dope-ass songs and somebody doesn't fucking hit it big. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. So it's going to happen. We're going to promote these guys. We're going to put them out on blast, you know, because they, you know.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And that's the best way because that, you know, is genuine. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that's always
Absolutely.
Perfect. You know, that's organic.
Yes.
As people love
yes.
to say.
Yes. And that's how Jesse lives in our role, you know, just strictly,
yeah,
we straight up, we real, we organic. There ain't no bullshit. You know, we do what we got to do. And that's how we roll. I like it. I dig it. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so ladies
so,
and gentlemen,
man,
I'm just,
I don't know who we got next week, but yeah. Well,
let's look on the
schedule.
Hold on. We look on the schedule here. We got 2 minutes. I can say this real quick.
G Stallion from Oklahoma City.
Yep.
That's who we got next week. Another guy from a place that needs to be heard, ironically.
Hell yeah.
So
hell
that's going to be another good show.
Hell yeah. Excited about it, man. I'm excited about it. And fuck yeah. You know, we're gonna get her done, son. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So but ladies and gentlemen, I just wanna say thank you for being a part of the show. We wanna thank the caller that called in tonight, was part of the show, showed out some love to Rez Boy. And if you haven't already, please go to Facebook, type in Rez Boy. It's B-O-I.
That's R-E-Z. R-E-Z-B-O-I.
Yeah. And check him out. Follow and like his page and everything. Like, keep up with what he's got going on. He's got that album coming out in May this year. So we're really looking forward to that. Type in Note by Note Radio Show. Like and follow the show here with Jesse Lives and I. Follow and like Wicked Curiosity Media. And, you know, give them a follow, keep up with everything that's going on with the Wiki Curiosity Media family. On Twitch, it's twitch.tv/wicked_curiosity_media. Go type that in. Follow us on the Twitch feed. That's a new thing that we got started on going on this year. We're excited about that. But, you know, regardless of everything else, ladies and gentlemen, please have a wonderful weekend. And from the bottom of my heart, please, please keep your hearts open. And your radio's up. Ladies and gentlemen, please have a great weekend. Be safe out there. We'll be back next week.